This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. I have a very special guest today, Elliot Robertson. He's going to be talking about how letting the heart be the engine can lead to greater fulfillment and happiness. Elliot is an author, a happiness coach, and a certified leader for Happy for No Reason workshops. He has a book called Say Yes to Life, where he shines a light on ways to live with the heart leading the way. Welcome to the show, Elliot. It's so great to have you today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about your story. Let's start with that.
Wonderful. I was really miserable for a long time. When I was living in New York as a young man, I really wanted to serve the world. I sort of got in touch with my desire to uplift the world when I was 20. I was listening, overhearing a couple of women talk about what they wanted, and they were saying, both of them said, I want to heal the world. And immediately I knew that didn't ring true for me also. And immediately the word uplift came to me. So that has been part of my mission statement for my entire life, to uplift the world. But anyway, the thing is that I did, find things to get involved with, like rebirthing, which is a really powerful breathing technique, and I was assisting and helping with logistics for that after I discovered it. I discovered a self-awareness seminar that lasted, for 5 days, and I would assist at that and help with the logistics. But most of the time, I wasn't doing those volunteer gigs. Mostly, I was going to miserable jobs and walking around the city and noticing how everybody had money to afford these outdoor cafes that I didn't have money for. And so I had a lot of jealousy for everybody and bitterness. It was just the soup that I was swimming in 24/7, except for when I was assisting at these other things. When I was happy, at the other places. But at some point I finally just recognized, it just really dawned on me out of nowhere that if I didn't take ownership for my life, then my life would continue like this. I just realized I had to be the one who took the next steps, who figured out what to do, who carried the ball forward if I wanted to ever fulfill my dream of helping people. And that was the turning point. And since then I have, discovered Marcy Shimoff and studied with her and done a bunch of other things. And things have just really turned the other direction.
It's so wonderful that you were able to come to that decision, that you took responsibility for your own life and your own happiness and joy. You know, there are people who never come to that point and they continue in that misery for the rest of their lives, at the same time, try to make other people's lives miserable. So I love that you were able to do that. Why are you so passionate about inspiring others to change their life as well?
Well, what I'm really passionate about is spiritual growth. I think that that's perhaps the key to changing life and being happier and stuff like that. I think that's at the root of it. So in other words, when I say that I'm interested in spiritual growth, I guess that really means for me helping people become more aware of their divinity in addition to their humanity, helping people become more available to the light of God within them, to the light of spirit within them, more available to their hearts, helping them to discover the glory within them and to see their divine nature and relate to the divinity inside as well as their human nature.
I love that. In fact, I had a revelation. I went to a women's conference, which turned out to be like a retreat for me. And the last morning, it was a Sunday morning, I had a revelation of the divine in me. And it just blew my mind and changed my life. And so I know what you're talking about. That's a key. It's core. And let's talk a little bit about what authenticity plays in all of this.
I think you could say that spiritual growth is really all about the journey to your authentic self. So whenever I'm holding the space or supporting somebody in their own spiritual growth, I'm really holding the space and supporting their journey towards their own authenticity, to just step into who they are. Which can be a very instantaneous journey. Like, I suppose you had that moment in your experience that was rather like a flash. And it can also be a very gradual journey. It can be a little bit of both. For me, it's been mostly just a gradual journey, just every day inching forward to allowing myself to be and express more of who I am.
Yeah, I like that. And so, for me, it was a gradual journey as well. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so in any event, you know, whenever I'm working with anyone, my hope is, my intention is just to inspire you, to celebrate the magnificence in you, and I'm just really here to guide you on your own path of saying yes to who you are, you know, to both the humanity and the divinity.
I love that. Celebrate the magnificence within you. You know, we don't hear that on the TV. We don't see that in the commercials that we hear. We're bombarded in our society with how we're not good enough. And it's so wonderful to have someone to say, celebrate the magnificence inside of you, who you are, your divine nature. I love that. It's what we need to hear. It's what people need to hear. And I love that you're doing that for people.
Thank you. And you know what? There is actually a little bit more to what's going on for me in terms of authenticity. I make a distinction between the fleeting kind of happiness and what I think of as authentic happiness. Like if you were to just imagine yourself when you were a kid, maybe your father took you out to the circus or to a baseball game or something, and maybe you got cotton candy there, maybe you saw some clowns or acrobats or the baseball players that you've admired or whatever. And maybe that was a really happy moment for you. Maybe you enjoyed it so much. And so that now that's a happy memory for you. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I do think of that sort of as more like the fleeting happiness as opposed to the authentic happiness that is really deep down in your heart. And that's the happiness that I'm really interested in helping people move towards and cultivate in their lives so that it's there on a daily basis. That it's that kind of happiness that isn't really dependent on, oh, I'm at the circus, so I'm happy, or, oh, I'm at the baseball game, and this makes me happy. It's like even if there's a storm going on in your life and you just found out that you got fired and you just found out that your pet is feeling sick and needs to go to the vet, even in that case, you can still, after you've cried the tears or been angry at the boss or whatever for firing you or whatever, you're still available to that authentic happiness that's always at the very core of your heart that we're born with.
Wow, I love that. What a beautiful point you made. I love that you call it authentic happiness. I never heard anybody put it that way. Yeah, a happy moment, and this is what we mistakenly, at least me when I was younger, looking for to make your life a stream of these happy moments, right? Everything's happy around you. You're doing all things that make you happy, or you're with people. But then when they're gone or that moment is gone, there goes your happiness, right? But you're talking about the real happiness, I call that joy, that's inside of you that nothing can take it away. Like say, even if you lost your job or your pet is sick or whatever. I love the way you shared that. That's beautiful. Authentic happiness. Very good. So what do you believe is the first step for a person who wants to find that authentic happiness?
The first step is to be anchored in the heart and let the mind turn to the heart for guidance. In other words, the first step is really to let the heart lead the way and instead of having the mind lead the way. Mari, have you heard of the studies that have been coming forward that show that people are more depressed than ever, especially the teenagers, that that's been a tremendous increase over the last 10 years?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm really passionate about reaching out to people of all ages, and I really feel, I just wonder if maybe the problem that the teenagers are experiencing is that they are spending a lot of their time just sort of trapped in their monkey mind and are not getting much of a chance to sort of connect with their heart. And I really feel like that you know, if maybe if the teenagers were to spend more time in nature, that's something that can help people really get in touch with their heart. If you're just walking around the trees for an hour and picking up on the trees' vibes and stuff, at least for me, that's one of the things I love to do when I'm just really having a day when my mind is going off and judging everything and so on and so forth, and then going to the woods or the park or whatever can quiet my mind down a little bit.
Yeah.
So definitely whatever you can do to get into your heart and to become free of the judgmental mind is the starting point for sure.
I love that. I, you know, talking about being in nature reminds me, and talking about being a teenager reminds me, when I was in high school, I went to Catholic all-girls school, and we had a couple of retreats where we went out for the weekend, and it was always in nature. There was one where it had snowed, and we got to walk through tons of snow that was almost up to our knees. And those were beautiful moments with me where we got to connect with nature. We even had to spend a portion of it by ourselves, you know, not talking to any of the girls, et cetera. And that brought that back to me, how important it is to connect with nature, because you connect with your soul that way, with the real you. And I love that you're encouraging that. That's really great. Did you want to say anything else about that?
I don't think so. That's okay.
Okay. Okay, good. So what do you think is the main message that you wanted to bring to the public?
Well, you know, Einstein asked a question about, I think it was something like this. I'll paraphrase. Einstein said that the most important question that we can ask ourselves, you know, it's a question that each and every one of us has to ask ourselves and answer for ourselves, is the universe a friendly place? And I really want to let people know that it's very important to come to a point where you can answer that question with a yes. And I have a couple of stories that might sort of shed some light on how valuable that question is and why it's so important to answer the question yes.
Okay.
First of all, St. Therese, she lived a short life, but when she was four, she lost her mother. Her mother passed away when she was four, and then her older sister, who was quite a few years older, became her second mother and was just doing a wonderful job of caring for her and attending to her. And then her older sister, who was her second mother, ended up going to a convent, and she wasn't allowed to visit or, you know, leave the convent or anything. So St. Therese felt really devastated. She sort of lost a second mother now. And anyhow, she cried her tears, and she, you know, she went through the devastation, and at the same time, she must have known there was something larger, something that was still making the world a good place, because she didn't go off into the bitterness that I went through in my youth of saying, God, you're so unfair, why isn't life going the way I want it to? She cried her tears, and then she was still in a place of contentment and just ready and available to living her life and going forward. Another person's story that I'd love to share very quickly is Anne Frank's story. You know, she's just so famous for her diary that she kept. And she kept that diary when she was being chased, when she was hiding from Nazis. And what she wrote in her diary is proof positive that she was answering Einstein's question, yes, the world is a friendly place. She had the presence of positivity to just trust that human nature is good. Then finally, if I can share one more quick story, St. Francis was walking through nature, and he ran into four or five guys who just all of a sudden decided to push him into a ditch. And he landed in the snow and ice, you know, in the cold snow. Next thing that happened was he had a moment of divine laughter. He didn't curse God for things going bad. He had a moment of divine laughter. So he was really answering Einstein's question with a yes. He was able to just trust in the goodness of the universe and the friendliness of the universe.
Wow, I love that. I love that you talk about that, because not too many people talk about the goodness and friendliness of the universe. And, you know, when you talk about St. Therese, this really impressed me when you said she cried her tears. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry our tears, right? It's okay to be sad for the night or two nights or whatever it is. But then look up and see the goodness of the universe. And when you were talking about the teenagers and the depression and the stuff that goes on now, one of the things that we do in our society nowadays is we put teenagers on antidepressants. And antidepressants take away your emotions. And so there is no crying your tears, because when you cry your tears, you feel better afterwards. So yes. I think that's one of the things that have gone wrong. They don't have the chance to have these emotions and then to feel better. Of course, you're going to be sad if your house burned down or if you lost your mom or if your best friend died in a car accident. Of course, you're going to be sad. You don't need antidepressants. You're going to be depressed momentarily. It's not mental illness. And so you have to cry your tears. It's such a great point that you made, Elliot. I love that. So let's take a quick break. Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
You'd say, and then we'll take a break. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that feeling your feelings 100%, all of your feelings, is absolutely essential if you want to be happy.
Absolutely. I agree. And we're going to go on a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Would you rather pay rent or own the apartment complex? Easy, right? You want to collect the rents as opposed to paying them. So why pay to be in a networking group when you can own networking groups? Do you want to explore a franchise opportunity where you could profit from starting networking groups and add it on to what you're already doing? If so, contact us via info@amspirit.com. That's info@amspirit.com.
Who are you and what are you here for? If you find yourself asking those questions of yourself or others on a regular basis, then you'll enjoy Maxability, Who Are You? What Are You Here For? By Jean Hess, author of Sportuality, Finding Joy in the Games. Visit jeanhess.com. That's JeanHess.com for more information, or order it on Amazon.
Greetings. My name is Linwood Jackson, Jr. A call has fallen from heaven's throne to us to reform our heart by engaging our thoughts and feelings in His Spirit's education. This report and its benefit I have illustrated in the book Perfecting and Reforming Personal Religion, available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Let's learn of heaven's will for us together. Stay blessed.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Elliot Robertson. He's been talking about how letting your heart lead can take you to more fulfillment and happiness. So do you want to talk about your book for a little bit? Say Yes to Life, Seven Keys.
I'd be happy to talk about the book, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that. How did it come to you? Why did you write it, et cetera?
Well, you know, sometimes when I write things, I don't know how they came to me. I just start writing sentences. And in this particular case, as I was writing things like, the time has come for us to be honest with ourselves about what's possible with God's help. Because I believe we're in a new era where we can do so much. The possibilities are just so great. In this era, and our connection with God is so so available. So I was just writing down things like what this era is allowing us to do. The time has come for us to be honest with ourselves about who we are, both the divinity and the humanity. So it just sort of started with a bunch of sentences flowing, and then I began to see a structure for the book. I began to realize what the book needed to be like in terms of its general outline and stuff. And I just cobbled it together. I feel like this book, in a way you could say, it is like oxygen for the heart. What does that mean, oxygen for the heart? When the heart is getting attention and is being oxygenated and is being listened to and is being looked to for guidance, when you're just sort of cultivating a relationship with the heart and giving it your attention, then I think that sort of takes away the foothold that the mind might have. It helps the heart to become more of the leader. So, you know, I would just be so honored if I were to meet you at a book signing, and you were to come up to me and say, well, I read the book, and I found myself trusting goodness a little bit more. I found myself taking little baby steps in the direction of saying the universe is a friendly place and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I would be so humbled, because that's what I'm hoping the book will help people with, is saying yes to Einstein's question, like we were talking about, and becoming more like my role model, St. Therese, and my role model, St. Francis and Anne Frank. And the thing is, of course, I know that we all live in, that our lives are like a big bowl of soup, and we're all influenced by the potatoes and the carrots and the cabbage. Everything adds flavor to it. So I know that my book is just going to be one flavor in everyone's life, and that's okay.
That's awesome. You know, the best thing about what you said, from my point of view, is the possibilities are so great. We don't hear that too much. I mean, we certainly don't hear it on the news, and we don't hear it in the street, but it's true. Anything, I've learned in my life that anything and everything is possible. Even things you feel are impossible, what we call miracles, they happen. They've happened in my life. They happen all the time. So coming from a space where you feel that everything is possible and the possibility is so great, what a wonderful way to live, right, Elliot? That's where you're coming from. What a wonderful way to live, just to change your mind from thinking, you know, everything sucks, I'll never get a better job or whatever, to possibilities are so great. There's so many possibilities out there for me. I love that. I have a question for you on the behalf of the listener. How does one know when you're following your heart versus following your mind?
Well, that's something I may end up having to give some thought to.
Okay.
It's funny. It's like I feel like I know.
Well, how do you know?
For myself, but
know?
I don't know if I know how to put it into words.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is it a feeling?
But you have an answer to that question from your own life experience, Mari.
I do.
Yes, please.
Okay. So for me, when my heart is leading, so let's say I have a decision I have to make. And I want to come from my heart with a decision. Let's say I was offered, I don't know, a leadership of something, of a club. And so I want to know whether this is for me or not. I do what I call feel into it. I see myself doing the role. And then I look at myself and see how I feel about it. When I'm following my heart, it feels good. When I'm following my mind and seeing how good it is on paper, it doesn't always feel good. It could be as simple as accepting an invitation to a dinner party and saying, do I really want to go to this dinner party? Am I really going to enjoy these people? I know that sounds silly, but that's how I gauge it. When it's from the heart, it feels good. When it's my mind trying to create something or somebody else's great idea, it doesn't feel so good. What do you think about that?
I really like that. I appreciate that so much. And, you know, you did remind me of something else that might be helpful. If you're saying to yourself, oh, I should do this, then that's probably the mind. The mind uses the word should, and the heart doesn't.
Yep.
Also, if you're keeping a gratitude journal, as long as we're sort of on this topic, especially the should topic, I really always encourage people, if they open up their gratitude journal and they're thinking to themselves, oh, I guess I should write down I'm grateful for being healthy, because I am healthy, so that really needs to be on the list. I always encourage people, oh, that's the word should. You don't have to write that down. Just write down the things that you truly feel grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're feeling that gratitude in a really real sincere way, that is such a support to the journey towards happiness and towards a higher level of looking at the world and seeing the possibilities before you. Gratitude is very much a heart feeling, I think. And so if you're feeling gratitude, that's probably a sign that you're in your heart.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. And gratitude, for me, is such a great way to get out of a bad feeling, like you got a call, you got an email, someone knocked on your door, you heard news, bad news is everywhere, right? Begin to really feel into gratitude. What are you really grateful for? Like you said, really grateful for. What's lighting you up these days? And right away, you can begin to feel better I mean, it's just
yes,
a wonderful
you know
tool
what?
To
a
use.
Lot of people, when they're using the gratitude journal as a tool, I find that something that I did initially, and I think other people do it, is just writing down sort of the surface things, the mundane things. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, those are good things to include on the list. If you got a promotion and you're grateful for that, go ahead and put that on the list. But I always like to encourage people to expand into other areas that people might not think about. If you are grateful for a unique quality that you have, for your unique sense of humor or something, that can go on the list. If you're grateful for your ability to be a good partner, you know, you might be really exceptional at being tender and a good partner with other people, business or personal, whatever, you can put
mm-hmm.
that on the list. And then also you can go for the gratitude in the spiritual domain. You can take time to say every morning when you wake up, if you like, I'm grateful for the support of the celestial realm, if that's
mm-hmm.
something that you are confident in and you really are grateful for. You can be grateful for your heart's capacity to love.
Mm-hmm.
So those are wonderful statements to say when you wake up in the morning. I'm so grateful for the chance to share my love with the world today.
Wow, I love that. That's beautiful, Elliot. I never thought of it that way. Because we
yeah, the gratitude list can be
yeah.
a really
yeah.
Positive tool as long
mm-hmm.
as you stay away from the shoulds and allow your imagination to take you wherever it can.
I love the part about being grateful for the gifts that we have. Grateful for your own gifts rather than for the external stuff. That's beautiful. I got to work on that. Love it. So we're winding down about 3 minutes left on the show. Let's talk about how to get a hold of you and your book quickly.
Sure. I'm going to just give you one website.
Okay.
That website is www.sayyestolifebook.com. And I really am hoping that everyone will go there, even if you're not really interested in finding out about the book Say Yes to Life, because I'm giving away a free meditation, an MP3, a guided visualization.
Mm. Nice.
And it's a nature. But you're going to find yourself imagining yourself with the trees in a forest. So I'm hoping that that gift will, you know, if you're interested in that, that you'll go to the website and you'll go ahead and accept that free gift for no charge. And
fantastic.
when you accept that gift, you also will be sent a few pages from the book, so you'll get a chance to have a little sampling of what the book is like.
Fantastic. You can
Once again, that address is www.sayyestolifebook.com.
And it's right here on the Blog Talk. When you go to the Blog Talk Radio, that address is there. Elliot's regular website is there as well. And you can find Elliot on my page, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. You'll see him there with his picture, a link to this interview, which I hope that you will pass on, and a link to his website. So is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener? We have just under 2 minutes, Elliot.
Sure. Yeah, I really am concerned about the young people, the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to just, you know, encourage you, if you want to give the MP3 to them, the guided visualization, that'd be wonderful. If you know somebody who might need some help. Because I did create that, especially with the teenagers in mind. I think it really is appropriate for teenagers, and it's also great. I've been listening to it. It's great for the 80-year-olds and 90-year-olds, too, any age.
Any age, okay.
So I'm just also eager, when you're talking with teenagers, I'm just eager to encourage you to let them know about cycles. When you're 17 years old, you don't know that good times follow bad times, that winter is always followed by spring. You just think
mm-hmm.
life is going to be terrible always and forever. That's how it is when you're 17. And so you've just it would be great to give them some hope by letting them know about cycles.
Yeah, I love that. That's brilliant. Very nice. Very good. Well, thanks so much, Elliot, for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure having you. And thank you all for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. And make sure to catch the next episode. And make sure you pass this along. So many beautiful things spoken today by Elliot Robertson. They can catch it right there on the replay. So have a great rest of your day.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell. broadcasting live from Southern California.